jumping into a new collection, a new talk entitled, Man, What's Next? What's Next? Whether you were here last week for the first time, or maybe you've been coming to Avenue Church for weeks, months, or even years, and we kind of get to a point where we ask the question, what's next? What's next? I've done the things. I've done all that I could. I'm still empty in the inside. What's next? How do I move forward? How do I move forward? This is our word for the year. How do I move forward? So if you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans chapter 3, we have Bibles available for you, completely free and available for you. The paperback version, come on. We got the YouVersion app that you can scan right here if you're watching online. Come on, give me a hand clap for our online audience. Thank you for watching. Come on down, get water baptized. But go ahead and scan that QR code for our notes today. And Romans chapter 3, verse 21, 3:21. Now, I'm a 90s kid. I was born in the 80s, and I'm a 90s kid. And I just, for some reason this week, I was thinking about 90s comebacks. You know what I'm saying? When someone says something mean to you, what was my comeback? And for me, the only one I could really think of in the 90s, when someone would say something mean to me, or when someone would, they'd be in a joking manner, they would label me. The biggest comeback I could really think of was, I know you are, but what am I? How many know what I'm talking about? Do I know my demographic here? You know, they would say, you're not very smart. I know you are, but what am I? But what am I? And the reason why I bring that up this morning is because I think a lot of times in the church world, in our relationship with Christ, some of us, and maybe I could try to divide the room in half, and maybe half of this room would say, I know you're perfect, but what am I? Or I know you're holy, but and that's a great word, but what am I? Or maybe the other half of the room, you could really say, I know you're a sinner. Come on, I'm talking to church people now. But what am I? I know you have problems, but what about me? And so the title of my message today is, I know you are, but what am I? But what am I? Because if we don't know who we are, then we don't know what to do. But once we discover who we are in Christ, then we're going to know what to do. And so let's go to Romans chapter 3. And this is, I'm just going to get right to the chase on who we are. For everybody has sinned and we all fall short. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm a sinner. Go ahead, right now. Tell your neighbor, I'm a sinner. Come on, I'm a sinner. Tell your other neighbor, since it's a little, come on, 9:30 a.m. crowd, come on. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'll fall short. I fall short. Short. I don't know why the first one was so hard. Let's just try that again. Tell your neighbor, I'm a sinner. How about this? Tell your neighbor, you're a sinner. Okay, why'd you get louder? Why'd you get louder? I don't understand that. We all have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet, some people's Bibles say, but God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. That this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back. It did not punish those who sinned in times past. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believed in Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray a real long Sunday morning prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let this get this in our spirits. May information lead us to transformation. Father, I pray for this weather to be continued all summer long. In Jesus' name, and I pray my wife has a fantastic birthday. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. I'm going to dive right into this content of this message. Point number one, as we all know, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. We all fall short. Romans 3, everybody has sinned. We are all sinners. This is one of the times where the playing field is even. This is the one. This is the time where I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're all sinners. We're all born into this world as sinners. We live as sinners. We are sinners. Sin closes the door to God, but also sin confirms our status. And so when we come before God, we say, God, I am a sinner. But here's the reason why Apostle Paul is really, when he says this word, I feel like Paul right now. Like when Paul says, we're all sinners. We all fall short. The community in Rome said, wait a minute. You're wrong. What are you talking about, Paul? And there was two groups during the time of Paul writing this to Rome. And there's two groups. It was the Jews. And the Jews said, because of the law, because of everything that was in here, plus 300 more rules, because of the law, because of who I am, I'm good. I'm good. Matter of fact, I'm better. I'm better than the other group. And the other group was the Gentiles. So the Jews said, I'm good. It's because I'm a Jew, because I'm bought in. I'm part of the promise. Come on, exceedingly and abundantly more. I'm good to go. I don't need anything else. I don't even need Jesus. But what about the Gentiles? So the Gentiles is everybody else. And the Gentiles, they had no knowledge of God. They had no idea. They were just guilty. I'm guilty. I'm a Gentile. I don't belong. I don't get to participate. Therefore, I'm a sinner. I am a Gentile. So one camp believed they were better, and the other camp didn't know any better. And I'm here to declare on this Sunday morning, a week after Easter, better people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Better people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. And so let's talk about this other group. I know you're a sinner, but what am I? I'm good to go. Well, here is four signs that you think you are better. Are you ready for this? Can you buckle this up, man? I'll tell you. There are four signs that you think, or I think, that we think we are better than others. You ready for this? You taking notes? Are you interested? Are you leading in? Number one, we brag about what we've done right. We brag about it. Yep, I read this Bible cover to cover. Yep, I've been to church I haven't missed a church service. Yep, I tithe, I give, come on somebody. I served. Did you know how many times I served last weekend on Easter Sunday? Man, goodness. Whew, they should write me a thank you letter. You know what I mean? And we did. But we brag about what we've done, and we usually do it to cover up where we've fallen short. You know, it's like when someone comes over, you go, my house is so beautiful. Can I go in your bedroom? No. You cannot go in the bedroom because that's where I shoved everything in before you showed up. So that's number one. Number two, we criticize other people, especially in areas where we're falling ourselves. Oh, welcome to Avenue Church. Last week I talked about gas. Today I'm talking about sin. No laughter. Okay, you missed it. That's all right. But it's when we tear down others, amen, when we tear down others, it's when we tear down others to make us feel better. Matter of fact, I'll take a step further. It's when we tear down others to make us feel less exposed. When we feel less exposed. Number three, we hide our failures and we won't admit we're wrong. This is when you're sitting in a small group. And we say, hey, what happens at this table doesn't leave this table. This is a safe place. But you decide, you know what, I'm not going to fully admit that. To my group, to my counselor, to my pastor, I'm not going to fully admit it. Because it proves that we know a standard exists that we never met. And so in the room, and I say, tell your neighbor you're a sinner, you're going, ha, 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 I'm saved by grace, bought by the blood. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it, and I understand that we're going to get there in just a moment. But also number four is, and this is where it gets tricky, is that we live life trying harder and comparing ourselves to others, that we spiral into an endless cycle of rules that we break. And when we spiral into an endless, okay, I'm not going to do that. You know why rules were made? Because someone did something. You know, there's a reason why Pop-Tarts has a rule that if you read a package of Pop-Tarts, it says open it, take the Pop-Tart out, and then put it in the toaster. But somebody put the whole thing in the toaster. And so now it's a rule. And what happens is we spiral into an endless cycle of rules that we break, and that cycle will never set you free. How many know we are not that impressive without Jesus? And so here's the question is, okay, fine, we're all sinners, Jews and Gentiles. So Pastor Jeremy, what's next? I'm ready to move forward. Point number two is we all need to believe. We all need to believe. We all need to believe. I feel like this point, if you lean in, if you take some notes today, I believe this point right here will break you free. I believe this point here will remove the lid. I believe this point right here will change your life. Because look at Romans. It says, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. Amen. He went to the cross. He died for me. Last week, over 50 people said, oh, like Jesus died for me, me too. And they gave their life to Christ. They got their Bibles. They got a devotional. They're getting water baptized today in Jesus' name. Right? But then it says this, people are made right with God when they believe. When you believe. Not me believing for you. When you believe. When you go, enough's enough, I've decided to believe. I've decided not to believe. See, the Jews said, I believe in the rules. The Gentiles said, I don't know what to believe. Apostle Paul says, believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that he died for you. Believe that you were made right in his sight. Come on, I'm getting to a point here in just a minute. We all need to believe. Now, the Bible has a term called righteousness. And righteousness it comes from the term justification. Because God is righteous, he has made us right through Jesus. Okay? Because God is righteous, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now righteous. I'm righteous and you are righteous. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am righteous, but righteousness means justification. And I'm going to have a pastor moment here, a vulnerable pastor moment. I even said it this week in my studies. I typed it down and then I started reading some commentaries and I myself got corrected. I had some stinking thinking. And for me, justification, I've said this many times from this pulpit. And so Pastor Jeremy is confessing he was wrong. Yes, it happens here too, right, Pastor Lindsay? It happens here too. No, man, you guys are tough this morning. I'm deaf. I need some feedback. All right. Thank you. And here's where I've been wrong. For years, I said justification means just as if I've never sinned. Justification, just as if I never sinned. And the reason why I say that is because number one, it sounds cool. Right? Sounds good. But also, number two, it's because I heard someone say that. Justification means just as if I've never sinned. But here's the problem. It's bad theology. And the reason why it's bad theology is because it discounts what Jesus did on the cross. It discounts what Jesus did on the cross. Because when God justifies us, two things happen. You're no longer guilty, and you're fully accepted. But I think Charles Swindoll says it best. He says, if you have a long day of dirty work, you're working in the dirt, or you're working outside, and your hands, your body, you're just grimy, and you stink, and when you come home, you take a long, hot shower, and you get some soap and shampoo, and get yourself all cleaned up, and after the shower, it is tempting to say, ah, it's just as if I've never been dirty. And what that does is it discounts the power and the value of the soap and the water. It is better to get out of the shower and say, I was dirty, but now I'm clean, not because of what I did, but because of the soap and the water. And so when we say, I've been justified, that is the power of the cross. When we say justification, it means I was dirty, I was a sinner, I was filthy, but now I'm clean. So it's not being made clean, it is being declared clean. You are declared clean, declared righteous in his sight, declared that God begins to change us. Legally, you can go to court, and justification is the judge saying, you are now innocent. They hit the gavel. You don't walk out and say, I never did it. You walk out and say, I went to court, but guess what? I am now innocent because of the blood of Christ, because of the blood of Jesus. So legally, we went to court, but the charges were dismissed. So the question isn't, are you clean or unclean? The question today is, do you believe? Because faith is what God has done, not what we have done. Faith is based on relationship with God, not our performance to God. And that is the danger, just as if I've never, no, because of the cross, because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Not because I came out of the shower and said, I'm clean. It's because of what Jesus and his power of his death and his resurrection, I am declared righteous in his sight. Come on, there's a little theology there. But look at Romans 12, 2. But God transformed me to a new person by changing the way you think. So just believe. What I'm believing is the shower illustration and the justification illustration is going to give you permission to walk free. Permission to walk free. Because there's an identity crisis in our generation today. There's an identity crisis in culture today. But look at Romans chapter 12. Let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will and his plan, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen to me. Behavior follows heart. Because if you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. But if you think you're not good enough, you're not going to live in such a way that helps you to move forward. If you don't think you're worthy enough, if you don't think Jesus did it for you and he's just mad at you, you're going to walk this world stuck. But if you walk into this thing saying, I am a new creation, I have been declared righteous in his sight. I was a sinner, I was dirty, I was unclean, but because of the cross, not by what I did, I now know who I am. And because I know who I am, I know what to do. I know how to live. The word redemption means to purchase and to set free. So we have been redeemed. Every week, I'm saved, I'm redeemed. I got a little crackly there. I'm a child of God. Redemption means to be purchased and to be set free. To be purchased and to be set free. We have a dog and a golden doodle, and I wish I could have purchased her, and I did, but I never had the chance to set her free. Go, Chloe, go. To be purchased and to be set free. Look at Galatians chapter 5. So Christ, and this is Paul to the church in Galatia. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free. You know who you are. Now you know what to do. I'm free. Come on. I'm free. I once was a sinner, and God saved me, and now I'm free. You have permission this morning to live free. You have permission this morning to read your word. You have permission this morning to talk to God. You have permission this morning to belong to the house of God. You have permission this morning to lead your family. You have permission this morning to be a light in the dark place called work. Come on, in the city. You have permission to be a Christ follower. You have permission to get water baptized and take your faith public. You have permission today, but also make sure you stay free. Don't go back to the yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the slavery of the law. And I want you to see this real quick. Freedom is not going back. Freedom is not sin maintenance. Freedom means free. Freedom means free. Look at Proverbs 24:16. I think this is going to help somebody this morning. For the righteous fall seven times. Now, I'm righteous, and I'm free, and I make mistakes. I fall, I screw up, I mess up, I sin, I make mistakes. But what do? Do I stay down and go, I'm a sinner, I'm horrible, or do I do what Proverbs says? Do I get up? Do I rise again? For the righteous fall seven times and they rise again, but wicked stumble in times of calamity. Listen to me. This is going to help somebody this morning. Freedom is a daily journey. Man, it's a daily choice. Freedom is, I got to believe. And there are some mornings you're going to wake up not believing because the devil's in your ear and you got to say, I have been bought with a price. I am a child of God. I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm a child of God. But look at Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Come on, what does this mean? That means, is there so much grace? Does God just forgive me? Do I pray those just, do I do, not the just in case prayers, but do I pray the forgiveness prayer before I sin? God, I'm about to, come on, I've done this. God, I'm about to eat this entire pizza pie. Forgive me. No, God, I'm about to do something that I know is wrong. Will you forgive me in advance? That's not what grace is. What should we say? Do we continue to live in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is why I love water baptism. The water represents the ground. When you get into that tank, you plug your nose and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. It is a belief. It is your decision. We go under the water. I've been buried. My old self is gone. I'm putting my sin to death. I'm putting the old label to death, and out comes a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the reason why it's public is so that others may know. That others may know. Man, there ain't nothing like a public wedding versus a private wedding. Man, there's nothing like knowing and knowing if you know someone's pinnacle moments, you get to celebrate with them. You get to celebrate with them. That if I know and believe that I am married, it would make no sense to live like I'm single. Or it would be really stupid if I lived like I was single. Meaning, when I got married, I took a ring, and I put a ring on Lindsay's hand, did some vows, and then she gave me a ring, and I put it on my hand, and I did some vows, better or worse. Come on. Richer or rich? I mean, poor. Come on. In sickness and in health, until you kill me, until death does us part. And now I'm wearing a ring, and this ring, the ring doesn't make me married, the ceremony does. The vows and the prayer, and we as pastors, we call it a holy ceremony. That when I wear the ring, it is a public symbol that I belong to Lindsay. Come on, I'm taken, baby. Like I've been bought with a price, and it is Lindsay Bosma. And it's the same thing with water baptism. Water baptism is the symbol that you've been bought with a price. It is a public declaration that I was once dirty. I was once a sinner. Perhaps you know my past life. Perhaps you knew me as a sinner. But guess what? I've now been redeemed. I've now been declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I cannot live that way anymore. I have to live this way because God changed my heart. It is a public declaration. And so worship team, come on out here, because water baptism is a public declaration. I love the shirts that people are wearing all around the house. Raised to new life. And not only in the 9 years we've done this, I've seen people still wear their baptism shirts out there. And I love it because the conversations that they're having. What's your shirt mean? Oh, I was once dead, and now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. Come on. I was once dirty, but by the blood of Jesus, I've been declared clean. I've been washed by the blood. Washed by the blood.
Yes, God.
And so here's my prayer this morning. Is that we acknowledge that we need Jesus. Ooh, come on, worship team. I see that. I hear that. They're making me sound more spiritual. I like it. But my prayer is that you have a permission slip. Because here's the whole context of Paul. Paul is saying we all sin, we all fall short. So we can't just ignore that. Nope, I'm good. And Paul said, listen to me, you need Jesus. We cannot discount what Christ did on the cross. And we got to say, I was a hot mess. Man, I fell short. I thought I was good. I thought, and hear me, I grew up in church. I want people that are so far from God to know God and to find freedom and to discover purpose and to make an eternal difference. But also on this other hand here too, I'm like Paul. I grew up in church. I want to get church people saved. I want to get church people saved. There's too many church people that we're living Christianity without Christ. We're just doing the checklist, 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 but we're never allowing Christ in our hearts. I did. Not all of your heart. Your past traumas. Or your hatred. Those deep-seated things. Your money. Your tithes. Serving your time to allow God, to allow the counselor, the capital C counselor, the Holy Spirit inside your heart. That's why I really like, I'm going to be honest with you, for years and years, I think I heard someone say this. They go, I don't like Amazing Grace, the song. And I was like, you know what, I don't either. And the reason why I don't like Amazing Grace is because it's got that word in it, wretch. Saved a wretch like me. But after studying this week, I had to say, you know what? I was a wretch. And I did fall short. And I am a sinner. And the reason why I say that, it makes the declaration more powerful. And it gives me greater movement trust God with all my heart.
Amen.
That if I fall, it's not on me. That when I rise again, it's on Him. That God's going to help me.
Yeah.
He's going to lead me. He's going to change me.
Yeah.
So can we sing that song? I wish I was a pastor that could sing. And I can't sing, but we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Come on.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
on. I know who I was. I was a wretch. I was lost. But that's not who I am anymore. That's grace. Amazing grace. It starts with a belief, but then it moves to a declaration. Paul says it best in Romans chapter 10, that if you openly declare, you put on the screen behind me, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So today, perhaps it's your day to start declaring that you are free. Water baptism is a public declaration that you are free. You know what? Can I, 2026, you know what that means? It's on your social media. Man, it's on your desk at work. Man, it is letting others know that I have decided to follow Jesus. I believe he died for me. And I believe he died for you. For me, for yes, you. Because I know who you are. Because I know who you are. And I know who I am. Will you stand with me, please, as I close out in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed today. You're ready to openly declare that you want Jesus to be Lord of your life. Again, we have Bibles, we got the devotionals, we stocked up again. And I won't embarrass you, I won't single you out. On the count of three, if you're ready to openly declare and to believe that Jesus died for you, I believe identities are going to be rewritten. I believe labels are going to come off your life. And you're going to put on, because of the power of Jesus' death and his resurrection, you're going to walk out in freedom. It is a daily journey. It is a daily race. It is a daily battle. But you now know who you are. Behavior, faith changes the heart. If that's you today, I'm asking you to join our church, although I love that. I'm asking you to join the kingdom of heaven, to allow Jesus to come into your heart. If that's you today, one, just raise a hand. Two, three, if that's you, just raise a hand. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Yes, 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 see that? Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Come on, church, give me a hand clap this morning. Now, here's what I want to do. Man, the Bible says when we give our life to Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer. And we do this every single week. And that prayer, for some might be words, but for you that raise your hand today, this is your prayer. And this is your moment. The reason why we do it out loud, faith comes by hearing. Come on, hearing the word of the God, the word of the Lord. So we're going to pray that prayer. And then I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray it together. And then we're going to go into some songs, and Lorenzo's going to come on up here. And I challenge you, I implore you, I see shirts all over the room already, so you're not going to be alone. But you're ready to take your faith public. I raise my hand, I pray the prayer. It's time to take your faith public. To tell the world, I've decided to follow Jesus. And can I just say this? Your public declaration is going to be a powerful testimony. And it's going to reach people that I can't reach, that Lindsay can't reach. It's going to reach your neighbors. It's going to reach your coworkers. And they're going to go, whoa, because of them, what can God do for me? So let's pray a prayer. And then, man, let's celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. Let's get around that tank. And let's cheer every time we see a new creation comes out of that water. You ready? Let's pray. So everyone lift your voice. Say, dear Jesus, say thank you. Dying on the cross, so I repent of my sins. Say, be Lord of my life.
Say, the best way to know how, I'm going to live for you, because I now know who I am. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Come on, everybody, make some noise today.